Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Today, Jason, the question is, any glaring omissions or any surprise insertions, if you will? What are you thinking about the nominees?
Well, yeah, a huge glaring omission when it comes to Best Picture. For my money, they can put in 10 nominees, right, in the Best Picture category. They only put in 8 this year, and there's a lot of films of all different stripes that I think people are going to be happy with. But the film If Beale Street Could Talk from Barry Jenkins, his follow-up to Moonlight, which won the Oscar for Best Picture just 2 years ago, it's critically acclaimed. It has the third most wins of all films in this award season, and it was not nominated for Best Picture. I don't understand that, especially when you have room for two more, and you're going to put in a crowd favorite like Bohemian Rhapsody, which is critically panned, and I know people out there like it, and I get that. I understand. But critically, it's not a very good movie. If Beale Street Could Talk is a beautifully done film by an Oscar-winning director. It doesn't make sense why that film would not be in there. So that's my biggest snub of the morning.
What about Fred Rogers' Won't You Be My Neighbor?
You know, there's a lot of competition in the documentary category, and that's one that a lot of people have liked and probably did deserve to be in there. I think a lot of people are upset about that. But for that case, I mean, there were other things that some people liked better, and all of the nominees are critically acclaimed. So that was a case of numbers. You just didn't have room. In the Beale Street case, you had room, and you didn't do it, and I don't understand that.
Also, I noticed that Roma... How often is it that a foreign language film, let alone a black and white foreign language film, subtitles, is nominated for Best Picture? It's also nominated for Best Foreign Language Film. It could win or lose in both categories, but how unusual is it for a foreign language film to be an Oscar nominee?
It's rare. I believe it's only happened 11 times, something like that, in Oscar history. So it happens, but it is rare, and it's even more rare for Netflix to get a nomination in the Best Picture category. In fact, it's never happened before, as it has here with Roma. And now with Roma getting 10 nominations and tying for the most nominations with The Favorite, and The Ballad of Buster Scruggs getting 3 nominations, and a couple of short documentaries getting nominations, Netflix now has 15 Oscar nominations this year. You know how many Disney has with all their films?
No.
16 nominations for Disney. Netflix has 15. So this totally changes the game in terms of who the power players are in Hollywood, because up until now, Netflix has been a huge force when it comes to TV, for sure. Lots of Emmy nominations and really dominating the way we watch things. But with the success earlier this year of Bird Box, and the way everybody was talking about Bird Box, and now you got 15 nominations for Netflix for the Oscars. This is the start of everything changing.
It's interesting, though, because a lot of people will be watching these movies that Netflix is producing, not on big screens. What do you think about that?
Correct. And there's been kind of a little bit of a war. A lot of people in the entertainment industry aren't happy about that. In order to qualify for the Oscars, your film has to be in theaters in Los Angeles and New York before the end of the year. And that's what Netflix did. They did a qualifying run for Roma. They threw it into theaters for a week or two, and that qualified it for an Oscar. When the majority of people will watch Roma, if they watch Roma at all, they'll watch that on Netflix. It's a very artsy movie. It's not a movie for everybody, and I understand that. But if you're going to watch it, you're going to watch it on Netflix on a smaller screen. And it was directed by and written by Alfonso Cuarón, who is a fantastic director. He did Gravity a couple of years ago,
yeah, right,
which is film you want to see that on a big screen. I mean, that kind of film demands a big screen. So for him to take all his know-how and technical expertise and to go to Netflix knowing people are going to watch this on their television, even though he shot it in 70mm and he wanted it to be seen on a big screen, he's even accepted, you know what, I just want people to see it. So I'm going to put it in a place where the most people possible can go and see it. And most people probably are not going to go to the theater to watch something like Roma. But now that it has so many Oscar nominations, I bet you a lot of people this week and this weekend will at least try to check it out.
Maybe some of the art theater houses will show it on a weekend. My local theater did for like 3 days, Friday through Sunday. We went and saw Roma on the big, big screen. And
good for you.
I know, aren't I? I'm just bragging now. It's positively.
No, I think that's great.
Lovely.
I think that is absolutely great that you got out there and did that. I feel bad that I didn't, and I had multiple opportunities, but in the end, my laziness won out, and I saw it at home. But it's the kind of film that I think it demands, not only seeing it on a big screen, which is it helps, but it also helps you to turn everything else off and silence all distractions like you wouldn't do at home. At home, you got the dog, you got the kids, you got your phone, you got all this stuff that can take you out of it. When you're in a theater, you are focused solely on that movie, and Rome is the kind of movie you should really focus on.
You are absolutely right, because the movie begs your patience. If you're not in for the long run, this movie won't work.
Yeah, very, very true. From the opening shot, and this will lose a lot of people. I bet you a lot of people are going to go check it out, and you're going to be hit with 5 minutes of silence and just a driveway being washed, and you're going to be like, what is this? What am I in for? I would hope that you stay for it, but I understand if you don't. It's one of those very artsy filmmaker type movies, which is not for everyone, which is why I think if it starts to win big at the Oscars, we're going to have a very low-rated Oscars. On the other hand, in the Best Picture category at least, you've got a lot of diversity in terms of big blockbusters. You have Black Panther nominated, which is the first comic book movie ever nominated for an Oscar. You have Bohemian Rhapsody. You have A Star is Born, some of the biggest moneymakers of last year. So that's great. That's why they expanded the category from 5 to 10 films.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you have Roma and The Favorite, which are two period pieces, which not a lot of people saw. So if those start to win a lot of awards, people are going to tune out.
It works in reverse for me, though. I mean, think about it this way. The reason Roma is nominated, it's so good that even though it's in black and white and it's in Spanish and it features a lot of dog do and has a 5-minute driveway washing introductory scene, those are some handicaps, and yet it's still a terrific movie. So so know that going in. By the way, will you be sad if A Star is Born wins?
No, I wouldn't be sad. I understand. I liked it. I didn't love it. I understand why people like it, and I'm okay with that. You know, pretty much if anything wins, I'm not going to be sad. I'm not that tied to it. I'm just sad that Beale Street is not in the conversation.
I get it. All right, one last question for Jason Nathanson, entertainment reporter at ABC. So then what's the one performance movie? What's the one thing that you're really hoping to see? Somebody that wins for one of the categories, big or small. What's the one thing you're really rooting for?
I would love to see The Favorite win as many as possible. I loved that movie. It is, again, it's a period piece set in the time of Queen Anne. I don't know if that's the 1700s or the 1600s. I think it's the 1700s. And it's not the kind of movie usually I would be drawn to, but it is so funny and dark and satirical and witty and razor sharp. I love every performance in it, and I think it's a fantastic film.
Nice to talk to you, Jason. It's always a pleasure. We appreciate your expertise today.
Take care.
That's Jason Nathanson.